Blog Talk Radio.
Monet, your left foot.
Of the law, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to come before you once again and greet you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, Brother Karima. I don't know if everyone can hear me. I'm having some difficulty with my throat and possibly with my phone. So all praise is due to Allah, and we're going to carry on anyhow. But welcome everyone back to Conscious Black Nation. And tonight our topic is Torchlight of America. I know Brother Kareem said, let your light shine, but I wanted to be more specific about what Brother Kareem shared with me about this topic tonight. And so I co-titled it, Do You Follow Farrakhan, with a bunch of question marks behind it. So Brother Kareem, I hope you don't mind, but I really wanted to join you in driving this point home. And I believe we have Brother X Stallings on the phone with us tonight, but let me introduce our beloved brother, Vice President and host for tonight, Brother Kareem Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum once again, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen. And I noticed you said you're having problems with your throat. Other than that, how are you feeling?
I am blessed by Allah's grace and permission. I thank Allah for life.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. That's right.
Yes, sir.
Well, you said, did you say Brother Eddie's on with us?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum, my key.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How are you feeling, brother? And how are you doing, sister?
I'm fine. All praise is due to Allah. Good to have you. Good to have you. And
yes.
And as Queen Aziza said, that is our topic tonight. A torchlight for America. Let your light shine. And no, ma'am, I have no qualms, no problem at all with what you added to it, because that is it. Indeed. Do you follow Farrakhan? See, we have to understand what following someone, and I'm going to say it like that, or an individual of his ilk or of that type, what does following them mean? Does that mean that we make sure that we listen to or watch all 58 weeks of the time and what must be done? Every time the minister speak somewhere, we make sure we're there. Is that what that means? We're following him because, you know, people follow television programs, you know, like the housewives of Atlanta. And still, they follow stuff like that. I mean, so what does it mean, really, if we are following the minister? Because when we talk about being followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that's not just watching or listening. It implies action. And so since the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is in the seat of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then it means the same thing. You know, it's more than just clapping and saying great teaching. Our lives have to manifest the same result. If we're truly following, our lives have to manifest the same results as the individual that we say that we are following. So, as always, like I say, you open in the proper manner, I will be redundant. However, I will say, in the name of Allah, let us begin. And as always, we want to open and start from the scripture. Again, our subject, our topic tonight is A Torchlight for America, Let Your Light Shine. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. We seek refuge in Allah against the accursed shaitan or Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we'll begin from the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation, in the surah or chapter 24 entitled The Light, beginning in ayah or verse 35, Allah states, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. A likeness of his light is as a pillar on which is a lamp. The lamp is in a glass. The glass is, as it were, a brightly shining star, lit from a blessed olive tree. Neither eastern nor western, the oil thereof gives light, though fire touch it not upon light. Allah guides to his light whom he pleases, and Allah sets forth parables for men, and Allah is knower of all things. It is in the houses which Allah has permitted to be exalted and his name to be remembered therein. Therein do glorify him in the mornings and the evening. Men whom neither merchandise nor selling diverts from the remembrance of Allah and the keeping up of prayer and the paying of the poor rate, they fear a day in which the hearts and the eyes will turn about, that Allah may give them the best reward for what they did and give them more out of his grace. And Allah provides without measure for whom he pleases. Allah speaks the truth. And we want to go to, of course, the Bible. We're going to go to the book of Matthew. And we're in chapter 5. Of the book of Matthew, verses 14 through 16, wherein it states, pardon me, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right. So, are we ready, Brother Ed?
Always.
Are we ready, Queen Aziz?
I pray so.
That's right. And I know you usually do it later on in the show, but I'm going to remind our listening audience early. Press 1 on your dial pad if you called in. And if you're in the chat room, find any of the chat rooms. However, please participate because everything that we're doing now on Nation Building Network, in the Nation Building Movement, is designed to produce results. And that's going to take us all participating on whatever level. Now, to begin, I want to share from the book. It's entitled A Torchlight for America, published by Final Call News Publishing in Chicago, Illinois. Copyright on the book is 1993. This is 2014. That means we are what? If I'm not mistaken, we're, 21 years from the publication of this book?
Yes, sir.
21 years since the minister published this book. I'm going to read a very short selection from the preface or preface, wherein the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan states, this book represents some of the guiding principles taught to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. This man and his teachings have been responsible for transforming the lives of millions of black men and women, many of whom the society has rejected as incorrigible, irredeemable, irreformable, irretrievable, hopeless, and lost. Yet, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, with the word of Allah God, has been able to initiate the process of our salvation, redemption, and resurrection, which continues to this day. There are tens and hundreds of thousands of black people in this country who have been influenced by the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Through my work, we come from all walks of life. Some of us are learned, some are not. Some are young and some are old, yet we have been able, by the grace of Allah God, to produce a community of people that is relatively free from the ills that plague the larger black community and the broad mass of the American people. We believe that it is time for America to closely examine the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his message, and the people who have come to follow his teaching. As America prepares to make a change, she is seen searching for new solutions to her plethora of problems. Every aspect of American society is suffering. Her economy is faltering. Her public schools are failing. Maintaining the health of the American people has proven too costly. Crime is rampant. Her sense of morality seems to have been lost. And in general, the whole future of the country has become a big question. We would like to offer the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad with ourselves as an example of what these words can produce as a torchlight for America. A torchlight is anything that serves to illuminate, enlighten, or guide. It also means to love someone or something that does not necessarily reciprocate love. The bearer of the torchlight is a person who imparts knowledge, truth, or inspiration to others. The book is humbly submitted as a torchlight for guiding the country out from its present condition toward a more peaceful and productive society in which mutual respect governs the relations between the diverse members of America. I hope that you receive this torchlight with open ears and an open heart, with the aim of discovering those truths that can lay the base for developing honest remedies for the condition of America. All praise is due to Allah. Those are the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the preface to A Torchlight for America. And I want to lay specific emphasis when he defines it. He says a torchlight is anything that serves to illuminate, enlighten, or guide. It also means to love someone or something that does not necessarily reciprocate love. The bearer of the torchlight is a person who imparts knowledge, truth, or inspiration to others and those. The subtitle of our show, which is Let Your Light Shine, and then as Queen Aziza has so aptly interjected, do you follow Farrakhan? That's the bottom line. So, my first question, we'll start with you, Brother Eddie, is having listened to those words, or the preface, indeed, the preface to A Torchlight for America, and what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said about the book and its purpose, my question to you is in your own personal life, what efforts have you made, and this question is also for everyone that is listening, what efforts have you made to be that torchlight?
First, we always say in the name of Allah, the Blessed, the Merciful. I myself am not wise enough to have a light of my own. But, you know, we watch the Olympics and they move the flame. One person has the torch, but then another person takes their stick and lights it to that light and then moves the flame that way. So the only light that I can carry is by putting my hand, my stick, into the light of a person with the light. And that light that we carry is the teaching and the mission of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Personally, and what I have done and am doing to spread that light, which I have taken possession of, so I guess we can say it is the light that I have on my life, is that to do what is asked of us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The carrying and propagation of the Final Call newspaper, which he said is his best representative, and in it is, like the messenger said, is water to a man dying of thirst. It is knowledge of the time. It is teaching and guidance in the Final Call newspaper. I am blessed to serve and help in the prison reform ministry. I'm blessed to serve and help in my local study group, in my community, teaching and waking up our people, working with various community leaders. I'm blessed to do all of that. I'm blessed and able to share with my family of believers here to help them grow wherever I can. Wherever friends that I make, I share the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But not just sharing and teaching, but working in programs and efforts to help build business. All of these things, these activities that I'm involved by Allah's permission, is how I work and put forth effort to spread that light. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't just come with a teaching. He came with a mission. And that mission is activity. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that death is the cessation of the activity of life. So if Jesus in the Bible said that, "I come that you might have life and have life more abundantly," and we believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is that Jesus, then what he brings is the activity that gives us, or that is our personal, family, community, and national life. And by participating and enjoying and encourage others to participate in those activities, then we are bringing ourselves and our people to life. And that is the purpose of that light that we carry. And that light is also a warning, to warn our people, to warn the nation, to warn one another of what the threat of God is, that if we do not fall in and obey, what will come as we live in the fulfillment of time and the war of Armageddon. That light illuminates the threat of God and what we should be doing in every facet and institution of life. So in my personal life, through my post for the nation and in my local study group and my activities and my programs that I work with in our community, that's how I personally give my time to spread the light that I have. That's sufficient.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you, brother. I mean, that we're talking about action, practical application. That is what it's about. The Queen Aziza.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Yes, ma'am. Now, for this first part, I definitely got to have some balance on that. Okay? And it's the same question to you, because I've got to answer this question myself, so...
Okay, repeat the question again. I got half of it.
The question is, basically, you know, what do you personally do? I mean, we've shared the preface and understanding what the purpose of the book, A Torchlight for America, is. And then with the minister's definition of what a torchlight is, I'm going to reread that. He says a torchlight is anything that serves to illuminate, enlighten, or guide. It also means to love someone or something that does not necessarily reciprocate love. The bearer of the torchlight is a person who imparts knowledge, truth, or inspiration to others. Now, that is the focus. What do you personally do in your efforts to be that torchlight?
Wow. I hope I'm not a torchlight.
No.
Well, let me tell you, I'm Brother Kareem, your phone breaking up. What was you saying?
I was going to say is one of the things, and the humility is one. We have to have the humility. However, in true humility, it's balanced. So we don't think more of ourselves than we should, quite naturally. But we also should not think less of ourselves than we should. True humility is when we have an accurate understanding and picture of ourselves, and we move forward on that. And even some of the mistakes we make, as long as our intent is correct, still can be a teaching aid and a torchlight under the description that the minister has given for people, because we are individuals, I'll say hopefully, and I mean it includes me, that are striving to be examples of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and examples of the example that the minister has set in his setting. So, I just wanted to say that, but you answer in any way that you desire.
Well, in all honesty, Brother Kareem, if I can be qualified to be any form of a light to anybody, is that I strive each day on these airwaves and in my personal communication with anybody to be uplifting and to abide by these teachings, which we all fall short of the glory of God. But I think that just the striving each day, irregardless to how far you may fall from the goodness and grace of Allah, that life in itself brings you a new opportunity as long as you are blessed to wake up in life and move forward. You have a choice. You have an opportunity to choose. And so I thank Allah that I choose every day to do my best, to strive in his way and to encourage others to strive in his way and to be a true sister to my sisters and brothers in and outside of the nation, because I think that our greatest reflection of our demonstration of the God that is within us is when we move forward and do something that can help and uplift someone else. So that's what I try to do, Brother Kareem.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. And thank you for your response again. Again.
Yes, sir.
Because we were talking about, and what you're talking about is that action. Is that action. You know, it's vital that we be walking, talking, living example to the best of our ability of this teaching that we've been given. Because as the minister said in the preface, the very beginning of it, he says, this book represents some of the guiding principles taught of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And then he makes the statement, this man and his teachings have been responsible for transforming the lives of millions of black men and women, whom the society, I'm going to paraphrase, whom the society had just written off. They just said, oh, they're useless. There's nothing we can do with them. However, the teaching which is, as Brother Eddie stated, he is the Christ. He is the Jesus that everyone has been looking for. So what he has brought is indeed that transformative power. It is indeed, in other words, it's indeed, this is the gospel. See, a lot of people will talk to me and ask me about gospel music. Well, yes, I love gospel music, understanding that the word gospel means the good news. Doesn't necessarily mean I like all the songs, because some of the songs are very depressing, what people call gospel. But many of those songs, you listen to them, and there's much music, and there are many things and many teachings that are gospel that people don't recognize as gospel because of how they've been trapped in a little box to believe what the gospel and what Jesus is. But we're going to move forward here. And now it's time for me to answer that same question. And what I do is, first and foremost, each and every day, I thank Allah for the blessing of another day to get it right. And my mother taught me as a child, she said that every day Allah hands you a blank piece of paper, and it's up to you what you write on that piece of paper. You know, regardless of what has happened in the past, or what, regardless of what happened yesterday, not that there aren't consequences for us, but regardless of what has taken place, good or bad, I'm going to say it like that, the day before or years in the past, each and every day that Allah awakens us, allows us to have life, as you said, on the planet, we've been handed another sheet of paper. We've been handed another opportunity to get it right. So there's hope. So that's the first thing I do, is thank him for that opportunity. Then I ask Allah for the guidance for the day. Because when I look back over my history, my life, not that it's all been some horrible thing, but when I look back over it, there's a large period of time where I wasn't asking for guidance, and I can see the mess that I made of my life and those around me. So now I ask for that guidance. And then upon receiving that guidance, I mean, I'll read Quran or the Bible or whatever Allah guides me to. Then I step out into the world with the thoughts and with the intention to be an example of these teachings, addressing the issues that are in front of us as a people. Economic issues, educational issues, our missing children, hell, our missing people, period. And then I travel throughout the day with an open mind and ready to participate in any opportunity that comes to help. For, yes, first our people, and then any human being in need. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And just like you said, what we do here at the Nation Building Network, sometimes it's just as simple as you see someone who is distressed and you smile at them, have a pleasant conversation with them. It can change their whole day. Something as simple as that. But those are the things that I do. You know, and that's my answer to the question. Now I'm going to come to the second question, which is taken from, again, A Torchlight for America. It's on page 47 of the book, and this is a book that anyone who doesn't have it, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say it like this. If you say you follow the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and you don't have a copy of this book, make me wonder. But then you gotta go and deal wrestle with that yourself. In A Torchlight for America, under the chapter entitled Fixing the Public School System is what it's entitled. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, on page 47, makes this statement. He starts. He says, the purpose of education. Let's deal with what education is supposed to be as opposed to what it is in America. One of the things that separates land from the beast is knowledge. Knowledge feeds the development of the human being so that the person can grow and evolve into divine and become one with the Creator. It's not one's maleness or femaleness, being black or being white. Rather, it is our growth and reflection of knowledge that distinguishes us from the lower forms of life. Education is supposed to be the proper cultivation of the gifts and talents of the individual through the acquisition of knowledge. Knowledge satisfies our natural thirst for gaining that which will make us one with our Maker. So true education cultivates the person, mind, body, and spirit by bringing us closer to fulfilling our purpose for being, which is to reflect Allah God. The second purpose for education after self-cultivation is to teach us how to give proper service to self, family, community, nation, and then to the world. The problem in today's education is that the root motivation is the acquisition of wealth and the material things rather than the cultivation of the human spirit. In a study conducted by Dr. Harold Stevenson, professor of psychology at the University of Michigan, in which he compared American schools to those in East Asia, the educational deficiencies of America's youth were traced to the motivational forces promoted by America's culture. To a wish question, Chicago children tended to wish for money and material objects, while Beijing children wished for educational goals. Dr. Stevenson concluded that clearly a challenge in the U.S. is to create a greater cultural emphasis on education and academic success. But we must also make changes in the training of teachers and in their teaching schedules so that they too will be able to incorporate sound teaching practices into their daily routine. And having shared that, Brother Eddie, what must we do to ensure our children and ourselves proper education?
Very simply, to ensure anything, you have to be the one who built it from the ground up. You have to be the one who is in control of its resources. Mr. Man, I can't remember his name. But he was a baron of the railroad industry in the late 1700s. And to ensure that him and his family, Vanderbilt was his name, Vanderbilt, and to ensure that he was the owner for not just him, but the next generation after that of the railroad industry, he didn't just build railroads. He owned a steel mill that he used to put down his rails. Then he owned the mines where they got iron and refined the iron into steel to put down the railroads. So he understood that to ensure. Ensure means to be certain, absolute. He had to own the resources for the things that he did. So education is the same way. As long as we are the owners of the institutions that educate us, we're the owners of those institutions that fund our education, that provide it, we, the source of the knowledge by which we educate comes not from our enemy, but from us and the God that we serve, then, you know, then we can say that we can ensure proper education. But you also ensure proper education by providing a right aim and a purpose for the education. You know, as long as our education is aimed, the purpose is that of our enemy, we can't ensure it because the purpose for a thing is what gives it its life. So as long as we're doing that, which the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad does thoroughly, then we can say we can ensure the education, our educational institution for future generations. I'll leave it there.
All praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Yes, ma'am. I know you are. I would like for you to also weigh in on that question. But before you do, are there any comments? Anybody got their hand up? Are we just floating?
Well, we got some comments in the chat room that I'm not going to repeat. But one thing that I did forget to do, I forgot to thank our sponsor, Nation Brand Bread, for sponsoring Nation Building Movement. So I want to send a shout out to the chef of the Nation of Islam located in Houston, Texas, who are baking magnificent products using Nation's whole wheat flour. So anyone who wants to place an order to get some healthy, nutritious bread made with our nation's own whole wheat flour, please go to the Facebook page, Ariel's Baked Fresh, and Brother Erel in Houston will be more than happy to take your order. We do have some questions in the chat room, but like I said, Brother Kareem, not tonight. I'm not kidding about that.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
All questions do for a lot. I do understand. I mean, you have to decide, and I know I trust your judgment because my computer's still down, so I can't even see what you're doing.
You know, we have a lot of naysayers, but I tell you that to each his own. You know, the minister is on his post. The minister is providing us with truth, and it's up to you. You know, I thank Allah for my experience of being conscious and around when the messenger was amongst us. The messenger never argued with anybody. And the older I get, the more I try to take a page out of his book, because he always gave you the option to take it or leave it alone. And because his word and his guidance and direction has manifested itself for those of us who can bear witness. So it's nothing to argue about. You know, and I pray that everyone can stand on their square of truth, and I pray that your square of truth is pleasing to Allah, and that's it. So all of you who are asking me unorthodox questions about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I'm not going to give it any energy tonight. Thank
yes,
you, Brother Kareem.
That's right. All praise is due to Allah. That's right. Well, like I said, I mean, the question is, you know, understanding what education is and what it's for, and particularly mm-hmm. with your view on things, and you deal with our youth a lot. But the question is, what must we do with the condition of the American educational system? I mean, I should say, disinformation, this educational or what is a dysfunctional system with the condition of it. At this point in time, what must we do to ensure our children and indeed ourselves a proper education?
Well, I can't remember the scripture in its entirety, so I'm It says, seek first the kingdom of God, right? So
yes, ma'am.
we as parents, number one, can never stop or never not begin to educate ourselves because it's our education, especially us as mothers, it's our education that we have to pass on to the next generation. A lot of people cannot afford to put their children in MUIs or private schools or things of that nature, but God's word is education enough for anybody, because those who are seeking the true essence of Allah will find the true essence of Allah. And if you can't relate to what I'm talking about, you look at the life and the history of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. His purity at heart is what made him recognize Master Farah Muhammad. So when we are seeking first the kingdom of God, then the truth will come to us and what make us free. So knowledge is the freedom. Knowledge is the justice. Knowledge is the equality. But we have to first educate ourselves and pass on an education to our children that we cannot depend and should not depend on our open enemy to provide. The institutions of higher learning are not teaching our children to be gods. They're teaching our children to remain in servitude. And I tell people all the time, you know, what is a master's degree? I think they psych you out and tell you that, you know, it means that you have mastered a particular curriculum, a particular field of study, and now you have a higher degree of education than one who has a bachelor's degree. But in all honesty, a master's degree is just what it says it is. It is your master's degree. It is the piece of paper that the master has given to you and shows that he approves now of your academia, and that now, based on the curriculum that he has chosen for you, you are now qualified to work for him. So we have to educate our children. We are so adapted to the Western world that we don't teach our children to be entrepreneurs. We teach our children to be servants, because we teach them to go to college, get a good education, get you a job. We don't teach our children to do for self. And so now, generation after generation since slavery, we have become consumers, and we don't own anything. It's certainly not due to a lack of capability since we built this country. It's certainly not due to a lack of capability since they crossed the Atlantic Ocean to come and get us for that sole purpose. So certainly our sciences and our capability proves that without their education, we are capable. So we have to get back to obtaining the knowledge of self, and so we have to pass that on to our children so our children can grow and develop and have the knowledge of the God from which they came. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, ma'am. Beautiful. I'm in 100% agreement with both you and Brother Eddie on your answers to this vital question. And one thing that you both, hit on is that we have to be in control of the process. As long as the slave master's children, as long as the powers that be so were saying, I'm going to say yes, as long as white folks, long as someone else, whoever it may be, is in control of what we learn, how we learn it, and they guide the direction it takes us in, then it is useless to us talking about independence. I tell you, I was this morning on my way in, I stopped for my monthly cup of coffee. That's about how often I drink some coffee. I stopped for my monthly I get a taste for it sometimes. You know, I kind of like how it tastes, you know, with a little honey in it. And I stopped for my morning cup of coffee, and I stopped at this place. Y'all might be familiar with it. It's called Jack in the Crack, Jack in the Box, you know. And while I was waiting on the sister to put the coffee, you know, pour the coffee, because they had to brew some. And it was a young brother in there, and the young brother, he had his dreads and everything. Yeah, I guess what he calls them. I mean, it really looked like twisties. You know, I'm not going to get into that. Anyway, he had on his green, black, and red, like tam, you know, and he was talking, this is a young brother from here, and he was talking to a brother from Africa. And the brother from Africa was, I listened to the conversation. He was really trying to let the young man know, because the young brother was, he was saying things about our condition. But you could tell, but he was all over the place. There was no consistency in what he was saying. And any time the brother from Africa would say something to him, and the brother from Africa was talking about the fact, he said things like, well, the fact is, he said, not just here in America. He said, but we're disunited all over. He said, even in Africa. He said, there's a lot of wealth in Africa. He said, but the people are not united. He said, we're fighting among ourselves. The young brother going to count and say, well, no, but see, the thing is all of us, you know, we need to move back to Africa, you know, this is his statement. And he was saying was, he said, I mean, matter of fact, the young brother made a statement. This is when I had to jump in. He made a statement and said that eventually what was going to happen was that all of the brothers that are in prison, they were going to get out. They were going to go to Africa, and then once they went to Africa, then they were going to come back, and then they were going to take over America, okay? Now, this is his statement. And at that point, I had to make a statement, and what I said to him was is the fact that we needed to stop thinking in terms of nationality, in terms of religion, in terms of politics. We needed to start thinking globally. And that our brother from Africa, who was from Africa, was indeed correct. I told him, brother, I mean, we need to stop thinking about the fact that just that we built this country. But the bottom line is that the whole planet belongs to us. And that once we start really and truly seeing one another as brothers and sisters and start wanting for one another what we want for ourselves, the good, that is what will bring about our rise. That's the unity, you know. And I had to get on out of there because everybody in the restaurant started looking at me, so I needed to go because I wasn't there to teach. I just came to get my coffee. But, I mean, I agree with both of your answers. And Queen Aziza, any questions or comments of value yet?
let me just remind the listening audience, if you have a question or comment, please press 1 on your dial pad. And we have a comment from Sister Krista. Brother Kareem, she says, I believe the believers are more afraid of being judged by their peers and high-ranking officials more so than Allah. And it is their acceptance most people desire. Vanity is leading us to hell. So I guess you need to respond to that.
I can say to that is all praise is due to Allah. In my view, Sister not only hit the nail on the head, she just drove it through the board. That is indeed what is going on. I can't say with all believers, but it seems like with the majority. Well, a majority are operating out of fear. Not fear of Allah, just as she said, but fear of what those around them are going to think of them. You know, that's why I use the term reality TV show Hollywood event Muslim. In other words, as long as I can look good, but when it comes down to actually standing on the principles, when if it's going to make somebody else uncomfortable, or if it's going to make me uncomfortable, then no, I can't do that. You know, I mean, what, like she said, what will they think of me? But Brother N.
Yes, sir.
I'd like you to comment, if you will, on what our sister just said.
Okay. Everybody can hear me well?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
There is a fable. I guess I answered it two ways. How do I put this? Let me be straight. I'm trying to be refined with it, but I'm gonna just be straightforward.
Come on, get raw, bro.
That's the best way that I can. I don't have a lot of patience for personality and grandizement. I don't have a lot of patience for fear, because what we do in the Nation of Islam, what we believe, what we carry, who we represent, doesn't give us any leeway to be afraid to say what we mean. I mean, Jesus said, some of you will be evil spoken of, cast into prison, even killed for my sake. And I think we take that as a joke. We live in a world that is diametrically opposed to the will of God. And if we came in this to make friends, then we're here for the wrong thing. Allah promises us friends, but you don't join the Nation of Islam or carry this work to make friends, because you'll only make friends in the mission of doing the work. You'll find comrades, you'll find brothers and sisters. But even then, when we look at our restrictive law, it's our duty in our general orders to report all violations of orders I'm instructed to enforce.
That's right.
Now, restricted laws to report all slackness, weakness, and wrongdoing. They don't give you no leeway for friendship. We are about the law. We are about principle and right. And if you're not on that, then I don't care how much I like you as a person, you and I ain't copacetic. And so when it comes to who we are, I have friends who fall away. No, you treat everybody with respect. That's not what we're talking about, disrespecting anybody. We're talking about disrespecting yourself and God in person, because you're afraid that somebody's not going to like you for a moment because of what you're going to say. You're darn right talking about this. You're going to offend people. Absolutely. People have lived their lives, their deep personal beliefs, in a world of falsehood. And when you talk to people about truth, you are going to offend them. The Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan said, of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, said that you cannot tell truth and not offend people. So if you're afraid to offend them, we're in the wrong business. Then you need to get out of this, because you won't survive long carrying this, and you will you will be one of those who will abandon it quickly if friendship is your main priority. Because that's a weakness. I mean, look at how the ministers attack. People attack what I believe on a daily basis. But what kind of a coward, what kind of a punk would I be that this which we say our prayer, our sacrifice, our life, and our death is all for Allah? Exactly what do we think that is? Do we think that's just a slogan or some cool prayer to say? No, that's real, man. This is our life. The government of America has us on a terrorist watch list. How do you think they handle those kind of people? What do you think we're going to have to deal with when the minister departs to go do the other phase of his work? So, and not to overreact to the question, But to be honest, man, the whole thing, and I'm with the sister 100%, this whole thing, and you see it everywhere. You see it on social media. Social media has programmed us with the like button or the retweet button.
Yeah, go ahead.
It programmed us to go for the most like buttons, the most comments. It's and people are really like that. Well, I'm going to say it this way because I feel like it'll get a bigger reaction. Or I'm going to try to be controversial because I'm going to try to get the most reaction. You know, we've really been conditioned like that with social media, where a great tool to spread the teaching has really become a popularity contest, even amongst believers. Well, I'm going to try to be controversial, or I'm going to try to say this way, or I'm not going to say it this way and trying to, you know, get attractive. You know, I got 4,000 friends. God forbid I have 3,995 now, you know. Yeah, so, no. I agree with her 100%. To be honest, with the type of message we carry, that is, that makes war with Satan himself, the idea or the sentiment that you're afraid to tell the truth because you don't want to offend nobody, we don't have time for it. Not today, we don't. Because how can we defend a man who put his life and his family on the line for us? And we're afraid to tell the truth. And that is the least we can do. When we think about the sacrifice of the believers, the family, man, how can you think about their sacrifice and you're afraid to tell the truth that they have, that many of our families will crack and break up under? You know, so, no, I don't. There's no room for fear to tell the truth. Not today. And especially not in this nation. What we believe, nah, homie. We can't do that. I'll leave it there.
Yes, sir. All praise be to Allah. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Well, we're at the top of our second hour. And that means it's time for me to pay some bills. This is Conscious Black Nation on the Nation Building Network. Conscious Black Nation is sponsored by Kareem's Construction, Room Additions, Remodeling, New Construction, Roofing, Plumbing, Electrical, Handyman Services, Tile, Concrete Work. Remember, beauty is in the hands of the builder. You can reach Kareem's Construction at 314-651-1094. We're also sponsored by Amin Holistic Health Center. The thought is the act is the fact. Receive guidance in the following areas: better health through nutrition, success through faith and works, spiritual progress, conquering addiction, aromatherapy and herbology, never getting sick again. You can reach Amin Holistic Health Center at 314-616-2060. And anytime you're here in St. Louis, and if you live in St. Louis, hopefully you've been there. You need to go back again. 2846 Cherokee. Go in and tell the proprietor, create me a master pizza. That's right. They have pizza by the slice, also whole pizzas, 14-inch and 16-inch. They also have chicken wings and their own hand-cut, specially seasoned fries. That's master pizza at 2846 Cherokee. Or phone in your order. They will deliver. 314-999-9939. And when you get through with your master pizza and you're going to have that sweet tooth, you know you need something sweet. Don't get any bean pie. Get the best bean pie. Baked by our own brother Jeff X here in St. Louis. Contact him at 314-315-7833. All right, moving right along. Queen of Caesar.
Yes.
Any more questions or comments?
It's a comment from Shannon who said, you asked, do we follow Farrakhan? The question should be, do we believe as he believed, and do we have the faith that he has? Ooh.
Well, all praise is due to Allah. And I thank my sister for her comment because she has just expressed in simple terms what we were discussing at the very top of the show about that particular aspect of the title, Do You Follow Farrakhan? Because we were talking about the fact that what does follow mean? You know, and we're not talking about following in the sense of we just keeping track of what he says or what he does. But indeed, as she just said, do we have the faith that he does? Do we believe as he believes? And honestly, at this point, do we know as he knows? I'm not saying we know everything he knows, but we have moved out of the time necessarily. I mean, we're going to always be believers to some point. However, Allah doesn't describe himself in the Quran as the best belief. Allah makes the statement. He says, I, Allah, am the best knower. And since Master Farad Muhammad came to make God, in other words, in essence, to reproduce himself, then that means we've got to move into the realm of being knowers. Because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is indeed a knower. The reason I say that is because look how he moved. In order to make moves like that, you got to have confidence. And in order to have the confidence necessary, you have to know something. Other things, yes, come on faith, but you got to know something to move like he moved. And I'm gonna say this, and I'm going to back up, but like I said, I agree with the sister 100%. The Honorable Minister Muhammad stated to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that if Allah could not save him, meaning the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it would prove that he couldn't save the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. However, he did save him. So that's something he knows. Just like I know, he knows. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is alive. That's not something I believe. I don't think I've ever shared this on the air. But the bottom line is that prior to 1977, my mother said to me, when everybody else was saying, peace be upon him, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was dead, my mother said, oh, no, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is alive and well. And that was prior to 77, before the minister made the announcement in 81. She told me. So, see, at this juncture of my life, it's not a belief. That's one thing I know for sure. Why? I got the evidence of what is taking place with those, as my sister just said, who have the same belief and the same faith because they're moving out. Their actions show. So all praise is good for Allah. I thank my sister for her coming. All right.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Since I've got you on the line at the moment,
Okay.
We're going to
yes,
go
sir.
To our third question. And our third question is coming out of, again, A Torchlight for America. And remember, that is our topic tonight. A Torchlight for America, Let Your Light Shine.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the section Rebuilding the Economy. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan makes this statement. It's a chapter. It's entitled Redirect Black Spending to Black Business. Mr. Farrakhan states this. He says, black people have $300 billion in spending power. Remember, this is 1993, 21 years ago. Okay? So if we had $300 billion in spending power 21 years ago, if you understand how finance goes and how inflation works. If we had $300 billion spending 21 years ago, we're about at $1.4 trillion now, 21 years later. And that is an estimate. But if you understand how the inflation goes and how money markets work, but even if you don't, just suffice it to say, now in 2014, our spending power is at about $1.4 trillion. What are we doing with it? But he states, black people have $300 billion in spending power, yet as soon as the dollar enters our community, it exits almost immediately. The dollar doesn't circulate to a black bank to pay the mortgage, or to a black-owned grocery store to buy food, or to a black fashion designer or retailer to buy clothing. The money enters our community in the form of a paycheck and exits to a bank, a cleaner, a record store, and to all those outside the community who provide goods and services for us. In the souls of black folks, W.E.B. Du Bois wrote, "The Holocaust of war and slavery, the terrors of the Ku Klux Klan, the lies of carpetbaggers from the North, the disorganization of industry, and the contradictory advice of friends and foes left the bewildered slave with no new watchword beyond the old cry of freedom. A people thus handicapped ought not to be asked to race with the world, but rather allowed to give all its time and thought to its own social problems. It appears that integration has only meant the surrendering of our dollars to others, so that they can enhance their lives while our businesses close and our problems remain unattended. We must look like a very foolish people in the eyes of others who nurse themselves to economic strength on our earnings and then abandon us and ridicule us as they advance and leave us further behind. We need to turn constructively inward, pool our resources intellectually and financially, and begin to build a future for ourselves and our children. We must patronize ourselves as others patronize themselves. This is the way to build a viable economy and earn the respect of self and others. Black scholars, professionals, organizations, and the wealthy among us must be charged with the responsibility of using our resources to build the economic institutions that our people need. We can promote the idea of buying black, but we must have something manufactured by blacks to buy. More of us need to come out of corporate America with the skills that we have acquired and build businesses that service the needs of our community." And that, again, that chapter is entitled "Redirect Funding to Black Businesses." Now, that having been said, and all of us knowing the current situation, again, we're putting this on a personal level, and again, this is for everyone in the audience to think about, and please respond if you have any ideas, any comments, any questions. The question is, how do we accomplish this redirection of black dollars back to us with the attitudes that we have towards, still have towards one another? And I'm not talking about the so-called deaf, dumb, and blind. I'm talking about us who are supposed to be conscious, us who are within the Nation of Islam. I mean, I'm going to talk from my own personal experience. I have had individuals, and I'm going to say it, you know, I don't care who don't like it, in the ranks, okay? Because they're trying to go get crackhead prices. That's what I said. They want crackhead pricing for some work to be done. They'll skip right over me because they want to tell me that my price is too high, or they will come to me with sounding like one of these Arabs. See, the Arabs will come to me. I've bid a job for certain Arabs or foreigners, and the ones who are Arabs, the ones who are supposed to be Muslims, they come to me with, "Oh, brother, you know, Allah will bless us. You know, Allah knows, and that when we leave, when we die, Allah will bless us." And so, and he's sitting up here with $2-3 million that he just made that month off of us coming in his store. And he's selling us garbage and poison. And then, well, he want to come to me and try to whoop some spookism on me. And I don't get angry with him. All I do is I say, "Well, here's the bid. Call me when you're ready." But I've gotten that same type of mentality for individuals who say they don't believe in a spook God. Oh, brother, you know Allah going to bless you. But you didn't tell that to the Caucasian when you went and got that new car note. Yeah, I'm telling it. I ain't snitching, I'm telling. We have got to stop. I'm talking about us in the nation. I'm talking about us that's supposed to be conscious. We need to stop trying to get over on one another and pool our resources. See, if I come to you and ask you to do some work for me, I don't come to you, I don't try to bargain with you, I don't haggle with you. I ask you about the work, tell you what I need, and I ask you what's your price. You tell me your price. If it's reasonable, I agree. We make the agreement. You do the work, I'll go ahead on and pay you. It's just that simple. We got to stop trying to get over on one another. And so that having been said, like I said, with that type of attitude going up, how do we accomplish this redirection of Black dollar? Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. I was saying, how do we accomplish this redirecting of Black dollars?
Well, you know, Brother Kareem, I hear what you're saying. And we've heard it for how many years now? And you know, I just ask a lot for understanding. And this economic situation, For years, I can bear witness to. I know we've been talking about, you know, how the Black man can rise above his financial condition. We pool our resources. Well, that may be very well true. But I tell you that what we very seldom speak to is the heart and the desire of our brothers and sisters. And, you know, dealing with the court system, I'll give you a very simple example. I had a client who they were trying to evaluate psychologically to see why he had certain behaviors. So angry, and why was he so violent, and why was he so passive with everybody, and, you know, they were just really trying to figure it out. And this young man was very crafty, slick in how he handled himself. And so I just had to let it be known. I said, you're trying to find a diagnosis, I say, but you never looked at the first diagnosis that we were ever given when we find someone who is contrary to the law of the land, and certainly the law, the true law of the land is the law of God. The first diagnosis is evilness. And so in one breath, we don't want to speak ill of our brothers and sisters and condemn them and judge them. But we have to realize the basic principle that everybody Black is not your brother.
Come on.
Because if that was so, if that was really, really so, then we would not do to one another what we do to one another. And so really what is missing out of our endeavors to be financially successful is that in humanity we fail. And until we learn to love one another, then we will not trust one another. If we don't trust one another, we're not going to go into business with one another. And if our experiences have been that we have been hoodwinked and bamboozled by someone who looks like us, it creates generational distrust. And that creates generational dysfunction. And that creates generational poverty. So if we don't really align ourselves with Allah, if we don't find the God in us, and when I'm talking about the God in us, I'm not talking about the power, but the mercy, the love, the forgiving, the grace, that we can put our differences aside and work together for the common good of all of us. But if we don't graduate to that point, then everything we've been talking about for the last 40 years, we're going to be talking about it for the next 40 years. Because until a man aligns himself with Allah, until a man repents and atones, until a man try to right the wrong and come together with Allah first. Because, see, when you with Allah, Brother Kareem, people try to run game on you and you recognize it because Allah is not for a protector.
That's right.
So you won't suffer the way that others may suffer when they encounter other people, because Allah grants you wisdom if that's the true desire of your heart. And so we have to get in touch with the God in us, but not for the sake of capability, but for the sake of salvation, growth and development and success in the way of Allah, in the way he intended for us to be successful. But see, we greedy now. We greedy. When we were slaves, the field Negroes would get together, and whatever they could take, whatever their hands could hold, it wasn't that you stole more potatoes than I stole for this journey of us trying to be trying to escape. It was about give what you can get, I get what I can get, so we can get the hell up out of here. And we worked together at that point, but now when we got what we consider to be freedom, we've gotten greedy with what we think freedom is. Our freedom is materialistic thing. But we're still going to the plantation in order to maintain the end to the mean. So when we stop going to work to buy houses and pay mortgages that we can't afford, to drive vehicles that the gasoline bill on is just as high as the car note itself, when we start investing in ourselves, then you start to see love, the demonstration of love for one's self and for one's people. So we have to have that knowledge, that wisdom, that understanding. That is the science of business. And the science of business comes from the science of love, the science of humanity, the science that is Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you for that response. Brother Eddie.
Yes, sir. Sorry, I was putting something up. All right.
I understand, bro. No problem. I was going to sing a song in a minute because, you know, we can't have no dead air.
Hey, the pan was so hot, I was trying not to drop it. Drop it like it's hot now.
Yes, sir. Praise to Allah. I wasn't saying nothing, bro. You know, that's queen. That's queen air. You know, I ain't going to put myself out there like that. All right. the question is, you know, from what we just read out of Torch Light from America, how do we accomplish this redirection of the black dollars back to us?
I want to reflect off something.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, bro.
That Queen Aziza said, I had was part of a certain bank, you know, major bank, white-owned bank, and they had a problem with taking fees out without
notification became unreasonable, so I left. And I went to another major bank, my own bank. Found another. They had some issues, so I finally found another bank, and that bank worked. There's a particular Chinese restaurant that I used to go to at one point. There was a problem with the way they cooked a certain dish. The vegetables were a little bit overdone, so I went to another Chinese restaurant. Found it like there, and I found another one which I like now, so I go to them whenever I have a seat for that. You know, nowhere in my psyche, I say, I'm going to use myself. Nowhere in my psyche did I say, well, this white bank caused me a problem. I don't want to deal with white banks. Nowhere in my psyche did I say that this particular Chinese person didn't cook my food right, so I don't deal with Chinese people. It can't get no good because a Chinese person can't do nothing for me. Or a white man can't do nothing with my money. But for a black person, particular brother, he did a very bad job. I referred to him. He did a very bad job of painting a man's house. And even though he had years of experience, he did a very bad poor job. So a brother who I referred to, he said, well, I'm going to have to go to the Mexican to get my house painted. Now look at the difference. When we have a problem with the institution of other people, it's the institution, not the person. But anything negative that a black business owner does more often than not against black as a whole. And that shows how much of an ingrained self-hatred that we have. See, for us, we fuel and we fund that which we love. And we don't love one another. We don't love, and I'm going to mean an individual love, I mean just black in general. We don't love or have the identity of self like we need to even survive. Because it's the first law of life is self-preservation, and that which you identify yourself with is to preserve. So before we can even talk about economic survival, we first have to talk about how we deal with one another. So that's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad started out with messages like black man is God, do for self, self first and up, love for self. Go read the message to the black man, the title of each chapter. The original man, know thyself. Why? Because we spend, because we identify with the Caucasian, so we spend all of our money with him. It has nothing to do with the quality of the work. You can find great black painters, you can find bad black. You can find great black cooks. You can find bad black cooks. You can find great white banks and bad white banks. It ain't got nothing to do with color in the institution. But because of our love for the Caucasian, our love for anything really other than ourselves, we treat them differently than we do ourselves. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't start out with economics. He started out with the identity of who we are and love for self. And our economics will follow that. Once we establish the love of self. Awesome.
Bob, welcome to Salam. Yes, sir. Absolutely. All right. Before I move on to the next question, Queen Aziza, do we have any other comments or any questions?
Yes, we have a question that I'm trying to clarify from Brother Abraham in the chat room, but right now we got Brother Gene on the phone from St. Louis, Missouri. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Gene.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum, Aki.
Walaikum salam, black man. How are you?
I'm fine, all praise due to Allah. Just, you know me, I'm working all the time. That's what I do, same as you.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I just want to comment on a couple things. First,
go right ahead, sir.
Your topic at the first of the hour, you know, you asked the question, what is an individual doing to consider himself as, if I'm wording it right, as a follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? Well,
yes, sir.
Me, per- I would just like, what I'm doing, Brother Kareem, is I am denying myself, denying the lust of my flesh, and denying myself. And I've picked up my cross. And it's out here, we have got to start taking over industries and markets and manufacturing. We say we're followers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But think about what Jesus asked Peter. He said, do you love me? He asked him three times. He said, well, then feed my sheep. Not feed him, you know, food. Feed him a knowledge so he can get up and go and do the rest of the feeding that will carry on for the rest of his life. So we have the knowledge. Everybody has the knowledge. You know, the Hebrew Israelites, the Moorish Science Temple of America, you know, the Nation of Islam, you know, all these different religion persuasions. We have the knowledge. But you look at Europe. Before Europe became a nation, there were many tribes among Europe, the Anglos, the Saxons, the Vikings. But when the light of truth dawned on Europe, then they formed a nation. Now today you hear no mention of tribal names. You hear England, France, Germany, Spain. Now you go into the conversation you had at the restaurant about Africa. Look at Africa. They're divided by tribes because that's evidence that there's a lack of knowledge there. You know, you go among the Indians. They're divided by tribes. But what was it in Europe that they saw, even though they had different beliefs, different understanding, and they were enemies of one another? But they realized the light of truth. And that's what we got to do with all of our knowledge that we have. It's the light of truth. And when you stand on truth and speak truth, you don't give a damn about who you offend. And to the sister that called in about, are we, in other words, in sync with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, see, what I've read from that sister's question is when she step out her door in the urban city or the suburbs, wherever she lives, she wants to see the work of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in her neighborhood. She don't want to have to turn on a video or go to YouTube or listen to the minister speak to see and hear his work that he's doing. We have got to do the work. He gives us the vision. But yet we're waiting on him. He talks about farmland, talking about farmland. But many of us are sitting back waiting on him to go and purchase the land for the nation. Why aren't you focusing on, instead of going to buy that condo or that house that you can't afford, buy some land? He's doing what he was called here to do. That was to deliver a message. He gives us the vision. It seems to me out of all of my years that I've been around the nation, the minister gives us a vision, it stays in the air for a moment, and it dies off. It's been 50-some years, brother. We're in worse off condition than we were in 20 years ago in 1995 with the Million Man March. We're worse off today than we were back then. What are we doing? We got the knowledge. You know the law. You know the restricted law. What are you doing with it? Absolutely nothing. See, it's easy to say you're Muslim. Satan can say that just as easy. It's easy to say you're Christian. The devil can say that just as easy. We've got to go to work. We cannot go to heaven off the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's work. Jesus told his disciples, greater work that I do, you should do also. The Honorable Minister Louis, that when you hear the words of Jesus, you're hearing the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And to this about, you know, we buying the cars, buying the nice homes and things like that. This is no more than sharecropping, black man and woman.
Come
you're
on, bro.
Stealing slavery. It's sharecropping. You go to work 40 hours a week to uphold this white man's world. He gives you a paycheck, what they did in sharecropping. He gave you a ticket, after a coupon, after you done worked in the field, and you take it right down to the Jew merchant. You already owe him because you've been bowing all during the week to buy bread and butter to feed the baby. This is on the slave plantation. You take him the coupon at the end of the week. What is that paycheck? That is a coupon that you take back to the Jews, and you already owe them. It's no more than sharecropping, long story short. It's no more than sharecropping. And I submit to everybody that's on this line, go and study Monopoly game that we play. That little old man in the middle of that Monopoly board with that big mustache, you know who that is? Well, that's J.P. Morgan Chase. Monopoly means control the minds and the money of the people. During the game, we play with fake fiat currency. That's all that's floating out here in America today is fiat money. You buy houses, you buy cars during the game, and you go what? Bankrupt. The enemy has put it right in front of our face. And that's what I mean by understanding the light of truth. See, when Europe became a nation, they came into the knowledge of truth. And they said, we have got to come together and unite, because if we don't, we're going to pay a hell of a price for it. And that's what we have to do as black men and women. We have to put away our isms. Today, you can't even say you have a damn religion. Look at the condition of our people. And to that naysayer in the chat room who has something negative to say, see, that's the reason we ain't going no damn where, because we got naysayers like you who want to question the man that's in our midst today. But I submit to you, you be very careful of what you say about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because I bear witness, as the lies my witness, I know who he is. So be extremely careful what you say about him. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Dean. Thank you very much.
Okay. We have another question from Brother Abraham. Brother Abraham said he would like for you to expound on what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated at 2012 Savior's Day, when he said he did not write the Torchlight for America for America, but for the Nation of Islam, and that the Nation of Islam and America are separated.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Somebody study. I like that. Well, in order
to... Brother Abraham, he's sharp now.
I know. Like I said, now we're getting down to the meat. Now we're beginning to look into some understanding of what's going on. I have to refer back to, pardon me, what we read at the top of the show, which is the preface, wherein the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan makes this statement. This book represents some of the guiding principles taught to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. This man and his teachings have been responsible for transforming the lives of millions of black men and women, many of whom this society has rejected as incorrigible, irredeemable, irreformable, irretrievable, hopeless, and lost. Yet, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, with the word of Allah God, has been able to initiate the process of our salvation, redemption, and resurrection, which continues to this day. Now notice this, in this paragraph is key. There are tens and hundreds of thousands of black people in this country who have been influenced teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad through my work, Minister Farrakhan speaking. We come from all walks of life. Some of us are learned, some are not. Some are young and some are old. Yet we have been able, by the grace of Allah God, to produce a community of people that is relatively free from the ills that plague the larger black community and the broad mass of the American people. We believe that it is time for America to closely examine the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his message, and the people who have come to follow his teaching. As America prepares to make a change, she is seen searching for new solutions to her plethora of problems. Every aspect of American society is suffering. Her economy is faltering. Her public schools are failing. Maintaining the health of the American people has proven too costly. Crime is rampant. Her sense of morality seems to have been lost. And in general, the whole future of the country has become a big question. We would like to offer the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad with ourselves as an example of what those words can produce as a torchlight for America. Now, when the minister made that statement, he also, and I'm going to end it on this point, it says, a torchlight is anything that serves to illuminate, enlighten, or guide. It also means to love someone or something that does not necessarily reciprocate love. The bearer of the torchlight is a person who imparts knowledge, truth, or inspiration to others. Now, in answer to Brother Abraham's question, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan made that statement in 2012. It reflects back on the scripture, in the scripture where it says that, and I'm paraphrasing now because I don't remember exactly the quote, but when the warner, he who has the knowledge of those of us who are the righteous or striving to be righteous, if we don't warn the wicked, in other words, if we don't offer or present or make available to them the solution, then the blood of the wicked, when they're destroyed, is on our hands. But once we have presented it, this is just the first part of the answer. Once we have presented it, then that blood is off our hands. Now, deeper into it, just as he said, yes, for the nation of Islam, because so many of us within the nation are still enamored by Pharaoh's wealth, Pharaoh's system. Even though we say we are about these teachings, we're following the minister, we are still enamored. So the minister laid it out, even as a torchlight. In other words, these teachings, if followed by anyone, even in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad himself stated, that if they would submit, if they would turn around and do right by us, that they could avert, and the minister said this recently himself, they could avert the destruction that's on them. Not coming, it's on. The destruction is on. We just haven't gotten to the complete destruction. The destruction is on. So, yes, it is for the nation because we need every example of how to practically apply the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Everything that's in a torchlight for America, you can find in the books given to us, the teachings, Message to the Black Man, Our Savior Has Arrived, How to Eat to Live, and The Fall of America. All that same information is in here. That's why the minister said, but he parsed through it and use specific arenas, specific areas that needed to be addressed. So that would be my response, is that ultimately, yes, that right here in A Torchlight for America is a practical way to apply the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad even within this system while we are working to build a righteous system. And that would be my response. I would also like to get Brother Eddie, if he would, to respond to that question also.
Yes, sir.
Him saying it's not for America, but for the nation. The nation is separate. You know, scriptures teach those who are slaves, their children will be rulers in that very same land. The naysayers of the Muslim take that book as being that he wants to save the rule of the population of the slave master. And that is not at all. Nothing that he has ever done has been to prolong their rule.
That's right. Never
or not. But for us to be the rulers of the land and over a people, over the world, over this nation, over all people, we have to be very familiar with the condition of the nation that Allah came to set us on top of. So everything is real. When a new president comes, he has to know all the conditions left by the previous. You know, he has to know his problems, his success. He has to know everything to know what he can do going forward. So the Torchlight for America, he didn't say the Torchlight for the enemy, Torchlight for the slave master's children, Torchlight for, you know, he said a Torchlight for America. I mean, this is the land that we live in. You know, he could have said the Torchlight for the Promised Land. That would have been a good title, but it doesn't communicate with the masses of the people, be them black or white. But you know, he has to just speak in plain language that people can understand. That's why he says it like that. Well, I believe that's why he says like that, the Torchlight for America. But this is where we are. You know, we were in Britain, you say a Torchlight for Britain. So, you know, that's the important difference and separation that you have to make and understand in his writing of that. Absolutely.
Walaikum salam, yes, sir. And I would just, one thing I would add is, and anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's in Our Savior Has Arrived, where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad states that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and that new heaven and new earth, or that hereafter, was going to be built here in America, and the people that would build it would be us. I'm paraphrasing, because like I said, I don't have Our Savior Has Arrived in front of me, and I don't want to leave the mic to go try to find it. But basically that we, in other words, this is where it will be built, and we are the people. You know, so, I mean, it's plain if we study. But I pray to Allah that my answer and your answer both were sufficient for Brother Abraham, and hopefully he has more input, because believe me, Brother Abraham is no slouch. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right. So any other questions, comments?
Hold on. Yes, sir, hold on. Erica 616, you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I do.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, my sister. Hello?
Yes, sir, go right ahead.
Yes, question?
Yes, and also a comment if possible.
Yes, sir.
Go ready.
Okay, first I would like to introduce myself. My name is Tahuti Adefumi. Just to clarify who I am, I'm the nephew of Oba Osejimi Adefumi I, who is the king of all the Yorubas in America. He's deceased at this time. Now my cousin, Adefumi II, sits on the crown, on the throne of Oyetunji African Village in Sheldon, South Carolina, just to clarify who I am and who my family is. To go further, I am not a Muslim, even though I appreciate my black folks as in the Muslim religion, Islam. I am not a Christian, and neither am I a Jew. And I am not afraid to say, and I quote my teacher, Dr. Yosef Ben Jofana, I am not a Christian, I'm not a Jew, and I am not of Islam, because all of them have been my enemies. They have all massacred and murdered my folks, and they still continue today. Now, with that aside, I understand that this conversation is about economics, and the good brother, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, and I love that brother dearly, and his work, of course. But I must move forward to his teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who was one of the greatest black men on the continent of the United States. He did what no other had done with the system of the great Honorable Malcolm X. He built over 70 mosques and schools all across the United States. No other individual has done this. No other individual organization have even attempted to do anything like this that I know of. Great people have done great things. But I must continue and move forward to the teacher of the great Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Marcus Messiah Garvey, the founder of the UNIA organization back in the 1920s, was a great, great man also, and also a teacher of the Elijah Honorable Minister Farrakhan, a teacher also of Malcolm X, a teacher of also the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who I don't know if you have followed that, but Elijah Muhammad followed the Honorable Marcus Garvey. This man had done more in this country for black folks in economics, more for black folks across the world in economics. The UNIA organization that he organized in the early 1920s had over a million followers in the United States and multi-millions of followers across the world. And his single ideology was based on blacks for blacks, black business, black religion, black education for black folks. Whole idea behind this is simple. The Jews don't send their kids to other folks' schools. No one else send their kids to other folks' schools except for us. Everybody else handle their own business, does business, they do business in their own community. We're the only ones to go run it to Kmart. Go spend our money up everywhere else. Yeah, they run up in there too periodically. But they spend their money amongst their folks. And bet you they are not coming in the black store and buying stuff up. Like we go to the corner store and buy everything up from their store. They would not do it. Matter of fact, they're not going to allow nobody else to have stores in their communities. Like we do. Oh, excuse me. We don't have black communities anymore. We just have hoods. Okay, let's keep it real. All right, this economic thing, you can't go nowhere or do nothing if you don't know who you are, where you came from, and where you're going. So the question of economics isn't even on the plate at this point in time. Okay, let's keep it real. Really don't have a question. Just wanted to share this little bit of information. And I also wanted to make a comment about this, these wonderful folks that have been on your program today, and they spoke about tribes in Africa. Well, I'm not trying to be disagreeing with anyone, but The first nations we heard about in Europe were the Greeks and the Romans. They didn't come around until, what, 1000 B.C. before Christ? They learned about nations from Africa. We had great, great nations, so many you can't even count them. Okay, we're not going to even start with Egypt. Excuse me, Kemet. We're not going to even go there. We had great, great nations, north, east, south, and west, all across the African continent before there was any Caucasian or any Islam Muslims on the planet. Okay, let's get all this straight. Okay, black folks have been here on this planet and organized in nations, not no tribe. We brought civilization to the world. We taught them how to domesticate animals and how to live civilized. Okay, we taught the world all that. Okay, if you want to call us tribes and whatever, that's your business. We know who we are. We have great nations of people. My family is from a great nation, the Yoruba nation, in southwest Nigeria. Okay? Our history goes back as far as my family has traced it. Okay? I'm not going to hold you up on all of this, but I just want to interject something just outside of what I've been hearing on this program, which I have been enjoying very much. One last thing before I go, I would like to make a comment about economics in the black community and why we sitting like we sitting right now. We don't have any community or economics. I'd like to bring point to the Black Panther Party across America in the 60s, Huey P. Newton. A wonderful, dynamic brother who was the founder of this organization. Folks right now today don't even know anything. They don't even know the name Black Panther Party hardly, okay? And the ones who do, most don't even know what it was about. I grew up in that age. I knew about the Black Panther Party bringing lunch programs to the black community, okay? Matter of fact, let's get down with it. The Black Panther Party was all about a 10-point program which brought economics and self-help programs to the black community when the government wasn't even providing any cheese. Remember, they used to give a cheese? Well, they weren't even doing that then. And when the Black Panther Party was doing these great things, what happened? They demonized the Black Panther Party. They shot them up, killed them down, and got all the black people saying that the Black Panthers ain't no good. These were some of the first people to look after us and feed us, okay? After they shot the Black Panther Party down, then they came with the government cheese and program because they saw what kind of power that you got from giving a little bit and doing a little bit for the people, okay? Let's keep up with all this. Let's not lose track. Young folks say, I think I disagree with that.
I know Brother Bobby very, very personally, and the Black Panther Party was a magnificent program, a politically driven program, but it was not the first. And because the Black Panther Party came around, what, the early 60s, maybe late 50s, I can't remember the year, but they were not the first. And I'm saying I appreciate you sharing all this history and things of that nature, but maybe it's just me. I hear what you're saying, but I can't say that I'm in totality in agreement with everything you're saying, especially about the Black Panther Party. It was a magnificent group of young black men, and they formed over the nation, even in Texas, where I am now, started, you know, in California. But it was not the first. Those programs that were implemented by the Panther Party were heavily influenced by the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And if Brother Bobby Steele was here, he would share that with you. They got a lot of their teachings from Noble Jura Ali as well as Marcus Messiah Garvey, but a lot of the discipline and the training and the maneuvering and the studying and how to address and deal with people came from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, that's the true history of the 10-point program as it was formatted to fit the political aspirations of the Black Panther Party.
Right.
Okay, I'm all good with all of that, but at the same time, no one said that the Black Panther Party was the first. I just said I'm going to start with them because they was a great example. Of course, we had many, many folks way back, even before slavery ended. It did a ton of things for Black folks. Okay, and I'm not on this show to disagree with anybody, just to throw my spiel. We all have studied, we all believe in what we believe in, but at the same time, put everything on the table and we can sort it out. If there's anything not supposed to be on the table, it'll fall off.
Yeah. If I may interject at the, seems to be the conclusion of Brother's statements, if that's okay
right.
with you. Is that okay?
Go right here, brother.
Okay. Well, I know we're at the 11 o'clock hour, so I'll be very quickly. Brother, I do, again, as Sister Eva, do thank you for some of the history. Some of it I will correct shortly. What you have presented us, and again, this is my opinion, so we can disagree. What you have presented us is not your opinion of a solution. What you have presented us is your angle of what you feel, who is more qualified to talk about economics, because you do not feel, from what you stated, that we, which all three of us are in the Nation of Islam, are not giving enough credit or should give more credit to what you believe or who you believe is responsible for truly doing it today by your statement. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not a follower. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a
I'm sorry, excuse me, I really wanted to hear that, and we got some static in the line. Can you repeat that, please?
Yes. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was raised by Master Farad Muhammad, who we believe the long-awaited Messiah of the Christians and Mahdi to the Muslims, the Son of Man. That coming of God, that when we're talking about the identity, which you commented on, of who the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is, that's who he is. Now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is a messianic figure who completes the work and mission of these men, Noble Drew Ali, Marcus Mosiah Garvey, that were mentioned. He is the Messiah of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You see, he completes those, but let's get the facts straight before we talk about who the identity of these men are. Marcus Mosiah Garvey, yes, did a good work, but what Marcus Mosiah Garvey did not do was bring the completion of knowledge to usher in a new world, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Satan, the knowledge of history. All of these things are in the body of work of the knowledge of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's what Marcus Mosiah Garvey did not do. So the longevity of the work of bringing in a new world, which one aspect of it is economics, was not there because that was not his work. That work of bringing in a new world, an entire new government under the rule of God that all of these scriptures are about, that is the work and mission of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, though culminating all of the work of our great leaders, is still not subjected to them by any means at all. And lastly, too, when we're talking about what we're talking about is economics. We're not just talking about building some business. Because if it was just about building businesses, and the $30 million empire that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad built, the millions of followers that Marcus Garvey had would still stay. We're dealing with these teaching as much deeper problem, which you attested to, is beyond economics. But today, we're dealing with the economic blueprint. Today, we're dealing with that program to end poverty and want. So regardless to who it is that we would like to personally give credit to, that program is the contemporary and continuing program that we need to back to solve the problems that we have. So when we're talking about it, let's not have long, drawn comments about who we feel is more accredited. We're talking about, in this conversation, what do we need to do now to make it happen going forward, based on the work that was done for us before. Because exactly. Otherwise, we will end up being in conversation debating about the character and identity of those who we say we believe in and follow, which does not solve, but we can end up in very tight feelings. What we need to be focused on is the process and the program, and that is what we're discussing, which in your comment you had not shared anything about. So I wanted to make a comment about that, not to simply leave those assumptions in the air, whether
right.
it's religion and all of those, because we cannot do that. We, the Nation of Islam, if you say you're not a Muslim, so now not getting into the reality of what a Muslim is and all of that, we, the Nation of Islam, brought in Islam. That is the new Islam. Prophet Muhammad said will come in the end of time from the West, because that Islam is dead. And the Arab culture and Islam are two very different things. Caucasian culture and Christianity are two very different things. Ashkenazi culture and Judaism are two very different things. So though I appreciate your insinuation of your independence from colonialized religion, let's still make sure we use the proper language.
I appreciate that. And you finished my comment for me, because the sister cut me off. I made all those comments about all these great, wonderful black folks, not to put one in front or another. I'm putting them all on the plate together. I'm saying those things that those people had done, these are the things that we need to do today. That's my point. I'm not trying to pit one person against another, okay? My point is, look at what all these people did. They were all in connection with each other, and they all did the same thing. And this is what my point is. We must do what they did. Okay, that was my point. The sister cut me off. I appreciate what she cut me off for, but at the same time, you completed my statement, and I thank you for allowing me to complete my statement also.
Brother Kareem, can I clarify something?
Go right ahead, bro.
Yeah, what the brother was saying about, you know, we had nations and things like that. Yes, we did have nations, and that, you know, before, when you look at the Quran and the Bible, it begins with Adam and his fall. So, yes, we did have nations before that time. And Marcus Garvey, when you speak of Marcus Garvey and Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it kind of reminds me of Moses. When Moses came, he brought a law. Thou should not steal. Thou should not commit adultery. And it reminds me of that, because when Moses did come, he brought a law because the people was, you know, just doing whatever. So he had to bring a law. So that reminds me of Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey brought economics. He said Africa for Africa. You know, and he wanted to build economics amongst black people here in America.
Yeah.
Yes, he was a wonderful black leader. I agree with you 100%. You know, but what happened? We betrayed him. Black people, we betrayed him. But when you look at Moses, bringing the law, then here comes the New Testament with Jesus and the Spirit. See, Marcus Garvey brought economics. The Black Panther Party brought revolution, militant. We need that. But when Honorable Elijah Muhammad came, he brought the Spirit. And that to me just put the icing on the cake. So if you take all of those and put them together, you've got an atomic bomb. We're dealing with revolution because we're going to have to protect our property and our people. But when the Spirit comes, black man, you don't need the law.
Let me finish.
Now, as far as, you know, you say you're a follower of Dr. Ben Yakana and you mentioned the Black Party, you know, but it was Malcolm who was a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that taught Dr. Ben Yakana. You didn't see no black men standing close to you met the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But what I'm saying to you, black man, is you say Muslim only means, submissive in Arabic means Muslim.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt that Muslims enslaved black folks, Africans, just like there's no doubt that the Christians did, and there's no doubt that the Jews continue to.
Well, I don't even call myself an African.
Black brown, and if you can knock me down on that one, I'll stand aside. But outside of that, as far as economics in these brothers, this is all I'm saying. We need to get to what those brothers were doing. You're right. Collectively, they had it. If they could have put it all, if they was all together and done it all together at the same time, we wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation right now. And that's what we got to find a way to do.
Okay. Because we're getting down to the end of the show, and I thank you for your comments, what you said, and I agree with you, yes. And the thing that we need to understand is this is why we were dealing with what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said. I'm just going to repeat very quickly what he said. This book represents some of the guiding principles taught to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, I want to put a pin in this so that we can wrap this up properly.
Yes, sir.
In the Theology of Time tape series, or CD series now, or if you prefer, you can get the book, The Theology of Time, by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks about Noble Drew Ali and Marcus Garvey in several places. This is just one of this is the first time he speaks about them in his first lecture of The Theology of Time. In the book, it's on page 17. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad makes this statement. He says, Marcus Garvey made an attempt. He said he loved you all, but he didn't have the knowledge that he should have had to have brought you out. Noble Drew Ali, he said, he tried, but he was not able because he lacked the knowledge. He said, now they have all left them to us, you and me, speaking of himself and the Nation of Islam. There is no one to get them now but you and me. The job is on us. But when I have finished teaching you, you will be able to get them all. Also, in other places, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made it plain that he had one teacher, Master Farad Muhammad. Noble Drew Ali, Marcus Garvey were forerunners. They came, but just as you just said, if we had it all together, well, in the programs and the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which is now being reintroduced by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to us, you have it all in one package.
Right. There you go.
Malcolm, let me say this about Brother Malcolm. Brother Malcolm would not have been what he was were it not for his teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yes, Malcolm studied in prison. Yes, Malcolm studied in prison. But Malcolm wouldn't have studied in prison if his brother Philip had not introduced him to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. See, it's this talking about the other leaders is fine, but the bottom line is no one has had the effect and the impact and the longevity, as my brother Eddie said, of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. See, they tried to get rid of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They said he was dead. However, what he has brought, the fact that it is still moving forward, even through all the muck and the mire and all of the attempts to destroy no organization, the UNIA, the Moore Science Temple, the Black Panther, no organization, after having been destroyed, as they destroyed these organizations, have risen up to reclaim their former glory. However, the Nation of Islam, under the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and yes, under the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, even with all the faults, is moving forward. Those who take the teachings, see, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is everything. Why? Because it comes directly from God. It wasn't just an inspiration. God in person taught the man, and then he went to work. And those of us who go to work, I don't care what group you say you belong to.
Or religion.
Study the books. Study the books and implement the teaching, and you'll see the result. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said the reason that the other individuals failed or they were not able to do it is because they didn't have the complete package. Also, they were not missioned by God. Our solution is a divine solution. It's not a political one. It's divine. Now, in a divine solution, you have to have economics.
He offered the people a guide, and that's what the other folks, as they were pushing for economics, all these other great people were pushing for black economics. Okay, we had the Black Wall Street. We had everything at one time. They all pushed for black economics. It was a beautiful thing. The longevity in the Nation of Islam came because of the simple thing. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he offered, but the others didn't, a guy.
Not a guy. But
that's
see, the
right,
thing
sorry.
Is, we can't look for God outside of self.
Brother, I'm a
Europe.
My family is Europe. My family
got back before outside outside of
Islam was on the planet now. So slow down.
We cannot look for God outside of self.
You can't disrespect
everybody else. I'm going to say it again. We can't look for God outside of self. I'm talking about the individual looking for God outside of themselves.
Well, that's not part of my culture and my people, and I agree 100% with you. But when you say thee, he's thee to you. He's not thee to everybody. And that's why the economic base of the Nation of Islam is limited to the folks that's in the Nation of Islam. It doesn't cover the
man. Okay, like you said, we're not here. This is not a debate. Like I said, the program is winding down, and so I'm here as the host to keep it on track. Our topic is A Torchlight for America, Let Your Light Shine. So, again, we're talking about practical application now of the principles given to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's what we're dealing with. So, we may deal with other aspects at a different time. So I need to get on with the format of the show. That's where I'm at.
Okay,
so,
well, I appreciate your time, my brother. Y'all are doing wonderful things.
You.
Keep it up. The good work.
I want to thank you for your input. But like I said, we're getting ready to move on so that the program stays. Again, it's A Torchlight for America. That's what we're dealing at. Now, you can contact me or Queen Aziza, and we can do a show, you know, on other individuals. But right now, we need to get back on topic. Which is where we're going. All right, I want to thank you. So
okay,
now,
and I thank you, my brother. And I didn't attempt to. I wasn't trying to put us off topic. I was just pointing out the fact that there are many folks that's been around And those are the things we need to do. That all them folks are doing, we need to get to doing them things. Because you're not going to come up with something new that you're going to do. Okay, ain't nothing new under the sun. We need to get to what those folks are doing. I appreciate your time. I've listened to your show many times. It's a wonderful show.
Yes,
you people are doing wonderful things. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. No, that's like I said. It's just like I said. We're down to the wire, and now we need to end the show again. I mean, I always, if you listen, you know I strive to end the show with solutions. You know that's what time it is. We want the people to have something practical to use.
Yes.
Because otherwise we're just talking.
Yes.
And that time out for the talk. So thank you, brother. So let us roll. Let us roll on.
And
thank
I'll
you.
Continue to listen. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, Brother Eddie.
Yes, sir.
All right. We down to the wire. Let me do this real quick. I'm not going to even get to the last. You know what? We're not going to get to the last question. We may have to do a part two. That's all right. All right. Now, let me share this. This is, again, from A Torchlight for America. This one is the section entitled Developing America's Moral Backbone. This chapter is entitled Promoting Positive Relationships Between the Sexes. Mr. Farrakhan states this. He says, the basis of proper male-female relationships, neither male nor female can fulfill their relationships to each other until they are first properly connected to the source of all creation, which is God. This is why the divorce rate is so high and the dissatisfaction rate in relationships between the sexes is even higher. The natures of male and female are different, but they are meant to complement each other. In the absence of knowledge, the different natures of male and female can work destructively against the self and against the union of both. The fundamental knowledge that is absent in male-female relationships is the knowledge of how we should relate to God and each other. It is our disconnection from God that is at the root of failing and improper relationships between man and woman. This is a very deep problem in the relationship between black men and women. One of the major crimes perpetrated against us when we were brought into slavery was that a true and proper relationship between us and God was severed. The slave master stood in the place of God and made us relate to him as master in the place of God. To this very moment, no matter how much we say we believe in God, Jesus and Muhammad, many of us subconsciously relate to white as master in God. It's just a word that we use. Now, that having been stated, the question is, and I mean, we really just answered it, but I want to get your view, Brother Gene also, Queen Aziza, why is promoting positive relationships between man and woman so important?
If the man and the woman are the axis or the center of family life, and we know that strong family life is the axis and the center of community life. And we know that community life is the axis and the center of national life. Then in order to promote strong foundation, we have to begin at the beginning of all of those phases. And that is God and then man and woman. So all of the larger constructs that fall in the realm of humanity, none of them exist in their proper form if the basic foundation of the humanity itself is not in proper form. So when you're talking about economics, you are talking about the economics of the family.
Come on.
To not have good economics within your family, how can you have good economics, which is really the management of resources, not all necessarily physical resources, but then he can't do it on a larger scale. For if cancer begins in the cells, and the families are the cells of the nation, then good economic, good foundation begins.
Yeah, let me grab some things.
Brilliant.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was if anyone got me, I was I'll leave that answer there. Put a pin in it.
Sir?
Was everyone ready to get my answer completely?
Yes, sir. I was just making sure.
Yes, sir. I thought I'll leave it right there.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Brother June, do you have anything to say concerning that?
No. That brother nailed it down. He nailed it down.
Right. Yes, sir. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Balance.
what I'm going to do... I'm going to yield to the caller, area code 727. You have a question or a comment?
Damn, I should have did now. So I could flip that shit, put that bitch back in the house. Wow.
Okay, maybe they're having a conversation with somebody else. Okay.
That was going on economics.
Wow, truth be told. Did y'all hear that?
Okay,
I didn't even hear what you're saying, but, you know, family is the cornerstone of nation.
Yes, ma'am.
But faith and obedience to Allah is the foundation of everything.
That's right.
And the only way that we have productive families, productive communities, and productive nations is that we have a common practice, not necessarily belief, but a common practice of being obedient to the law of God.
That's right.
So regardless of the faith persuasions that one may choose to adhere to the laws provided by God. It is the obedience in unison that makes a nation successful. So even if you're a Christian and you're following Christ, you're all right. You know?
Come on.
Whatever, even the Native Americans, if you are yielding to the nature of the work in which Allah himself designed, you are right. My brothers and sisters in Africa who have various forms of religious persuasion, you know, if you're in obedience to the scriptures as they are written, you're okay. And that's what we have to realize is that as much as we would like to differ and as much as we would like to persuade others to follow us, it's only one religion.
Come on.
And that's obedience to God.
That's it.
Okay.
So I'm in no moral position to say that the Christians are wrong, or the Judas are wrong, or the Buddhists are wrong, because I have never found a holy scripture that was contradiction to Allah when it is written in truth.
That's right.
And that's what we have to get past. Because a lot of times, and even us as Muslims, and I remember calling myself, processing and reciting and getting my Exodus 16 and I could tell you something now. And I disrespected a lot of my Christian brothers and sisters because I was arrogant. Not arrogant in my knowledge, arrogant in my ignorance. Because all I ever knew and all I ever studied was Islam.
All right, say that.
And I judged them and I condemned them. And I was in error. And so I realized as I went through my life that we have to have respect for one another. And see, that's why I say it's really irrelevant at this point. After all the years that the messenger was with us, 40 years, and now Minister Farrakhan on his post, 58 years, everything that we talk about as far as economic development is really irrelevant. And I'm not saying that it's a waste of time. Yes, we need the reminder, but you have to understand that there is something going on in the hearts and in the minds of black people that has been going on for a long time. And, you know, a lot of us want to condemn. I heard the brother say about Muslims enslaved and Christians enslaved and all of those people who enslaved us. Nobody enslaved black people but black people. And it's evident by the behavior that we see today. And that is because that is the, yes.
I apologize. I have to call my mother. She had at the end of a long trip, and I need to make sure she's okay getting there. And if it's all right, if I can be excused, my dear brother and sister, to talk to her. Because that's not a call I can
have.
Thank you for being with us.
Yes, I do want to thank you all, and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
Yes, sir. But, you know, I'm just going to finish with this. You know, until we get to the heart of our problem, which is not money.
Come on.
And God in heaven knows we got enough religion. You know, but black people have been the biggest slave. It was the enslavement of the mind of the black man in Africa that got us in slavery in the first place.
Come on.
And it is so easy for us to point the finger at the white man. But in reality, how do we really get enslaved? How did 1 million Caucasians enslave 1 billion black people if you were not already enslaved? Enslaved by what? By arrogance and ignorance. That's the biggest slave that we have today. That same mentality that enslaved us originally enslaves us today. Foolish. Prideful. Now what have you got to be proud about? So until the heart of man turns to God, submit your will to do the will of God, everything you think about is going to fail. Because you can't have it both ways. You can't have it God's way and your way. As my friend, my beloved brother, the Reverend Paul Jones, said, let your will be done. And until you fall in love with the will of God, until your will becomes his will, until you learn to love what he loves, everything you think about is going to fail. I ain't telling you something I heard. I'm talking about what I know, what I've been through, what I witnessed, what I lived. So if anybody has never had their world crumble up under their feet and bore witness to the power and the mercy and the grace and the love of Allah. That's why I say it's all about forgiveness. It's all about atonement. It's all about love. That is the only thing that's going to get us through. And until we turn our hearts back to God, I don't care how much money we have. We're going to always be consumers. Until we turn our hearts back to God, I don't care how we try to unify, there's always going to be something or someone that is going to come as a divider. So you can't get around this thing. You can't get around God. And if we stop pointing the finger at which organization is the best, which leader was the best, who did the most work, who said the most powerful words, I tell you who said the most powerful words of anyone, Allah, God. And that is the law that governs our land in truth, and that should be the law that governs us. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, Queen Aziza.
You got somebody in the queue that shouldn't be there.
Somebody in the... Queen Aziza?
I'm here.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I'm, yeah, cause, you know, I don't have the computer in front of me, so I don't see that. But I know what our time is looking like. And, I mean, what you have just said, summed it all up. I mean, there's really nothing else for me to say behind that. So bottom line is this. Again, I want to thank Brother Eddie. I want to thank Brother Gene. I want to thank our brother who came on with us with his comments. I want to thank everyone in the chat rooms, everyone on the line, and simply say this, that, again, our purpose here is not to debate. Our purpose here is to provide practical solutions, practical application of what we have been given so that we can submit our will to do God's will and bring in a new world because, as Sister just said, that's it. That's the bottom line. You know? So I want to say this again. Like I said, thank you to everyone, and thank you again, Queen Aziza, for allowing me this opportunity to serve. As always, the thought is the act. The thought is the act. The act is the fact. We either participate or we all dissipate. I want to leave you as we came with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum. And before we go, also, can't forget, what is our lineup?
Okay, join us tomorrow, 7 p.m., for disaster preparedness with Brother Rudolph and Sister Lachelle as they tell us how to prepare for, long, hot, and dry summers. And join us on Wednesday at 7 p.m. for DJ Black Season and Friends. That's our hip-hop comedy show. And on Thursday, I will be back with Student Minister Stanley and Sister Ruth Muhammad on another marriage topic, and I think we're going to do the purpose of sex in marriage part two, because there were some things that we didn't quite get clear last time, so we definitely got to get that straight. And on Friday, Student Minister James will be here with Student Minister Tony Muhammad out of Muhammad Mosque number 27 in Los Angeles for live study group on Friday night. On Saturday, please do not forget to tune into Young, Gifted, and Black as we continue to build the task force for our missing black youth. We did not broadcast this Saturday because we yielded, of course, to the Honorable Ms. Louis Farrakhan's speech at in Philadelphia at Masjid Allah. But we will be back this Saturday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, to talk about the plight of our missing black children. We have so much more information on sex trafficking, on missing children, on how their cases are handled, and how we can better involve ourselves and our communities to help find our missing children. This is a very vital topic. topic, and I have some very graphic but necessary details to share with the listening audience as it pertains to sex trafficking of minors. It's very disturbing, but it's very factual. I'm hoping to have some of the members of law enforcement on, as well as the brother from the Department of Justice that has worked with me to gather information to share some of the details of what is going on in sex trafficking with our young children, younger 5 years old. So if we don't reach out and save our babies, I don't know who we are expecting to do that work. So that's the reason why I spent so much time on it, Brother Kareem. It's so vitally important. And on Sunday, of course, I'll be back with another topic on economics, as a matter of fact. Bridging the gap between money and Allah. That's what we need to talk about.
All right. That's what.
So next Monday, we'll be right back here, 8 o'clock p.m. Central with Brother Kareem Muhammad. And Brother Kareem, I know we're not sneaking, but give us the topic.
The topic is the awesome power of love.
Woo! Yes, I love it. Love it. Okay, well, that's our lot. We want to thank our sponsors. We want to thank Nation's Brand Bread out of Houston, yes, Texas, and the Chef of the Nation of Islam. Don't forget to go to Facebook and log on to Ariel's Fresh Bake. Brother Erel is there. You can tell him what kind of pie you want, what kind of cookie you want, what kind of bread you want, anything you want. And remember, these products are made with the nation's own whole wheat flour. So don't forget to log on to that page and place your order.
That's right.
Okay, so we leave you as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, family.
Wa alaikum salam.